America Weekend.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalecki along with
Christina Stoffo.
Our next guest has just been named the 2015 Playboy Playmate of the Year. She is featured in the June edition of Playboy, which is on newsstands now. It is quite a pleasure to say hello to Dani Mathers. Dani, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
This is quite a first for us. We have never had a Playmate of the Year on this program, so this is quite a first.
Ever?
No, never.
See?
You are number one.
This has got to be such a huge thrill for you. Now, tell us about the process, how it all happened, and how you ended up being selected as Playmate of the Year.
You know, it is crazy, and it definitely taught me patience, that's for sure, because usually, you know, in the past, the girl who gets Playmate of the Year usually knows around, you know, before Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, of course, all the past Playmates, it's a big group of girls that we all talk, so all the Playmates around that time are talking about it, and we're like, okay, well, whoever found out should have found out by now. And, of course, when you do find out, you're not allowed to tell other girls, you're not allowed to talk about it until the 14th, which is the luncheon day. So when I did finally find out, it wasn't until March. So pretty much everyone from my year thought that they didn't get it. So we were like, all right, well, someone's lying to us. Someone hasn't gotten it. One of you is lying. So, you know, we're all kind of freaking out, making sure we texted each other all the time. I mean, Britt Lynn is in New York, and she, poor thing, you know, she's out there, like, so removed from everyone. So she was like, okay, who got it? You guys, come on. I'm all the way out here. Someone give me something. So, you know, we all just basically had to keep on each other. And then I had to end up lying to almost all my friends or not respond to my friends for
You start ignoring
so
people. Better to avoid them.
I know.
That had to be really, really hard. I mean, this is quite a secret to try to keep. That had to be very difficult to do that.
Absolutely. I mean, I wanted to scream it from the rooftops. And even when I got called into the office and found out that I did get it, people in the office couldn't know. So I'm literally screaming silently, jumping up and down on a chair inside the office. Like, I had to close the door, make sure no one else heard me.
So along with the title, you received $100,000. You got a year lease on a 2015 Mini Cooper convertible in midnight black. Did you get to pick the color of the car?
You know, they gave me a few options. I don't know if that happens every year, but, you know, I've had so many different cars, and they're all always black. The creature of habit thing, I think it makes it look a little meaner.
Very nice.
Black tinted windows, nice rims, you know.
Tell us about the moment, because there had to be a time when you met Hugh Hefner. Tell us about that moment that there you are, and there he is, and you meet Hef. What was that like?
That was absolutely incredible. I got to meet Hef the first time at the jazz festival, actually, that he does at the Hollywood Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that specific event means so much to him. I mean, that event has come a really long way to get, you know, both blacks and whites and music and alcohol and just, I mean, all these things that were so taboo and prohibited in his time. You know, he really made that toll, basically. So this event meant so much to him. And I wasn't a Playmate yet, but I got to interview him with another cyber girl from Playboy.com. So we got to go and kind of see him in his work element. I've seen him at the mansion a bunch, you know, after that point, and I've gotten to see him in his comfortable, you know, his silkies and his hat and everything. to see him in work mode, you know, the man that you look up to for the work he's done, it was really incredible. And to see him talk about some of those musicians and just where, you know, it all came from the heart. I was so honored. I almost froze up. I forgot how to speak English.
You know,
like, how am I supposed to be the one asking him questions?
It's amazing because he changed the American landscape. I remember watching something on his bio years and years ago. He started Playboy magazine from a bridge table in his living room, literally, and how he turned it into this huge, massive corporation, and he was able to really change social mores in this country on so many different levels. It's amazing what he accomplished.
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, at the luncheon on the 14th, I got to meet a Playmate from March 1954. And her story was she was one of those first Playmates where he didn't shoot any of his own centerfolds.
Mm-hmm.
He would take photos that women had shot for other companies that hadn't been released yet. And those would be the ones that he would literally cut and paste into a magazine. So she was one of those women who actually, her photos from 54 were actually shot in 1950. She didn't even get to meet Hef until 1998 or something ridiculous.
Right.
Oh, wow. So you have a 10-page spread in the magazine. You were working with renowned fashion photographer Michael Bernard. Were you nervous at all walking into this? Like, did you have to do any mental preparation? Like, did you sit there and maybe do squats for 5 minutes before you knew you had to start taking these photos? Like, what did you do for preparation here?
I mean, honestly, I'm kind of a head case. the reason I even, I think, got Playmate in the first place of the month is because when Josh Ryan called me, he was like, you're coming in tomorrow to test, and I'm doing this to you because the more time you have to stress, the worse it's going to be. So you need to be here tomorrow. And sure enough, I went in tomorrow, and I got it. So I think it was the same with this shoot specifically, too. I was so nervous, and I knew that if I just thought about it and, like, you know, freaked myself out and kept it in my head, that I would do something stupid, like get some orange Oompa Loompa tan or lose too much weight or gain too much weight, something just crazy. So I was like, I'm just, you know, I'm not going to worry about it. This is something I've done for a while. I know how to do my job, and this is just, you know, a new person that I get to meet, and I need to treat it just like any other job. So I really tried not to think about it, to be honest with you, and it was very difficult.
You know, when you have a job like this, which is a great job, you get to ask questions that the average person just doesn't get to ask. And I always wondered if I ever had the chance to speak to a Playboy model, and now I'm speaking to a Playmate of the Year. Do you get cold during the shoot? Does it get drafty? I always wanted to know that.
Drafty?
Yes. Does it get cold?
Oh, God. You have no idea. You know, we get to sometimes, like, I shot my centerfold for Playmate of the Month in Cabo, so I got extremely lucky. But a lot of the girls, you know, shoot them in studio, and because of all the lights and everything that keep it hot, they have the AC just blasting. So, yeah, there is a cold breeze at all times. And during my shoot for Playmate of the Year, actually, there was a flash flood during when we shot at the Four Aces, that more deserty motel scene. Absolute flash flood. I don't know if you can tell in the sky behind us, but it was just thundering and lightning and black.
Wow.
And I for sure thought there was a tornado or something else coming after. But yeah, there were moments for sure where I was like, I physically can't even pretend like I'm not shivering.
You know,
I'm trying so hard.
That's not good, and that's not conducive to a good shoot when the photographer has one eye on you and one eye on the Weather Channel on a television. You know, that's not good.
No, it's not. But, you know, it made for a great story. It made me work a little bit harder for those shots, so I'm thankful for it.
Very nice.
You're the 56th Playboy Playmate of the Year. You're number 56. You follow in such, you know, huge footsteps. You have Anna Nicole Smith, the Jenny McCarthy's of the world, and now we have the Danny Mathers of the world. How does it feel to be included in, you are famous?
Those are big shoes to fill.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, the times are constantly evolving, so it's, you know, much different from when Anna Nicole Smith was able to let her career, you know, flourish. Versus when, you know, like the 80s and the 90s and the Jenny McCarthy's and the Carmen Electras and the Pam Andersons were able to get their career off the ground. Now it's like we have so much opportunity, but it's so saturated that it's even more difficult, I think, to really make something of yourself. So this has been, for me, I've just really tried to kind of meditate and get it together and really focus on what's important to me and what I'm really going to focus on this year, because this is, you know, really technically I have this for a lifetime, but this is a year that I need to really punch it hard, and so I'm just really trying to make sure that everybody gets the message that I want to get across, that little girls who do look up to me, you know, get the right impression, and that I can get out of this, you know, exactly what I want. So it's difficult. It's kind of a lot of pressure.
Sure.
Sure. Now, you're also an actress. You've been in Neighbors with Seth Rogen and Zac Efron. You've had a recurring role on CBS's The Bold and the Beautiful since 2005. Tell us about that.
That actually was, I went in for an audition when I was about 15 or 16, and I was supposed to be Lorenzo Lamas' daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And they taped it, and I didn't hear back for an entire year. And at that age, of course, my first, like, real audition, I was like, they hate me, I'm never going to make it.
Aw.
Like, crying, it was awful. I get a call a year later, and they're like, you know, we totally scrapped that role, but we want you anyway for this role. So I went in, and I ended up still going to CSUN, the Cal State Northridge, to study, but I studied theater. Of course, my parents were not very excited about that. And then I got picked up for that role while I was starting college. So I was like, all right, I'm going to go now. I'm going to take this opportunity, and I'm going to see how this goes. So I took it, and it's been about 10 years, and I absolutely love the people I've met. It's like a big family.
Very nice.
Show where you get your script the night before and you film every single day. It's kind of tedious, but that's talent to me.
That's right.
Sure.
Your family has to be pretty damn proud right now that you're now the 2015 Playmate of the Year.
They are. They're very supportive, and I'm so thankful for that, because I know a lot of people can't be open with their families about this type of thing. So
right.
I love them.
That's terrific. Well, once again, you can check out Danny's pictorial in the June issue of Playboy, which is on newsstands now. 2015 Playboy Playmate of the Year, Danny Mathers. Congratulations. Best of luck. And thanks so much for joining us here on America Weekend.
Thank you, guys.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, there she goes. And, you know, there's a first for everything, and I always wanted to know that. Do they get cold during those shoots? And here's a quick thing. I wanted to do some research on this.
Okay.
So I'm in Barnes & Noble the other day, I'm thinking, all right, I've seen her picture. They sent us the promo picture, just the headshot, let's just say.
Sure.
So I meander over to the magazine section, and I start making that left-hand turn towards these men's entertainment magazines. So there it is. I could see it's covered, but I could see it's Playboy, and I could see her hair. It looks like the picture. So I was all set to reach and grab, and all of a sudden, I got this look.
You got the stink eye.
Oh, my goodness. There was this school marm type. She looked like a librarian, and there she was, and I was embarrassed not to grab the magazine.
Oh, so you had to go through with it, because then it looks like...
No, I didn't go through
with
it. I walked away.
Oh, come on.
I got sheepish. I walked away.
He wanted to read the article about Danny Mathers.
Well, you know, I always do bring the guest's book home. Always. I'm reading two books right now for future guests.
Sure.
And I have no problem bringing them into the house. I think I might have had a bit of an issue walking in and passing the wife with this one. Anyway, more to come. Stay with us. I'm Ed Kalecki. She's...
Christina Stoffo.
And this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Big Success in a Minute with George and Mary Lynn.
Imagine yourself being financially free, doing what you want, when you want, where you want, with who you want.
Kerry Siegel retired at 45. He shares 99 money tips in his book, Why Didn't They Teach Me This in School?
One of his secrets is to save half of every pay raise. This is easy, he explains, because you're already used to living on what you make now.
What if you're just scraping by? Then don't split it evenly. Do something you're comfortable with. Just realize that the more you invest, the sooner you'll have the money you need to live the life you want.
So take part of your next raise and enjoy it. Save and invest the rest. It's the painless path to financial freedom. That's Big Success.
Find Big Success at BIGGSuccess.com.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with two free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This Canadian sprinter is one of the most controversial Olympians ever. He set a 100-meter record in 1988, only to be disqualified for steroid use.
Ben Johnson of Canada does it. A 9.84. Unbelievable.
So where is Ben Johnson now? Ben's a big soccer fan and is currently coaching in Melbourne, Australia. He's also coached Al-Sadi Gaddafi, the son of Muammar Gaddafi, and soccer superstar Diego Maradona. Ben says he and Diego are teaming up to open a worldwide chain of sports bars, but Ben still finds himself defending his own reputation because of his steroid controversy.
No one had the right to judge me because no one in his life is perfect. Anywhere else in the world, everybody's doing the same thing. You do understand?
I guess bushes were made to be beaten around. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired of high cable bills? Disable the cable with MyTV. Call 888-759-MYTV.